This podcast is brought to you by lineupmedia.fm.
You're listening to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal.
Something's not right, man. Something's not right. Something's bullshit here, and I don't believe it.
Honestly, this crazy shit could be completely possible.
Disclaimer, we reserve the right to be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. You think you know the whole story? Think again.
Now your hosts, Eric and Everett.
Welcome to Surreal Talk, a look inside the world of cults, conspiracies, and the paranormal, a lineupmedia.fm production, and we are back this week on a Sunday, or not our normal day.
Not our normal day, not our normal, okay, it is our normal time, isn't it?
It is our normal time.
We had a little bit of a scheduling issue yesterday, and well, not really scheduling so much, it's just shit didn't work out.
Everett was tired.
It's not just that, I was tired. It wasn't just that I was tired, I would have rather stayed up and got my shit, I was ready to go yesterday, to be honest.
Either way, though. Here
Either way,
there.
I overslept, couldn't do the live show, so here we are today on Sunday. Last week, we let out our first part of our show on marijuana.
Marijuana.
We talked about exactly what is marijuana, the effects, the plant, all that sort of thing. All that kind of thing.
Yeah, what you call it, yeah. Some of the slang terms for it. We, you know, that's something we never did. We didn't do, like,
didn't we, like, dope?
Bud, chiva, green trees. No, yeah, we didn't do that.
Weed, pot, trees, yeah, that's pretty much all I can think of right now.
Yeah, ganja,
and we'll get to that.
Indo,
smell like more like outdo.
I mean, there's so many of them.
We tried to
wacky
do that
tobacco
show under the influence, so to speak. I don't think it worked out well. Eric, yeah, I don't know what planet he was on. He was gone.
I was on Zoltan.
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 Is that some sort of drug that wasn't what I thought you were on?
No, that's the planet I was at. Zoltan.
You were on some next level shit, man.
But it was fun. We had a good time. Maybe.
Yeah, we were in Atlantic City for the Ultimate Gaming Championship Gears of War tournament at the Caesars in Atlantic City. It's not Caesars Palace, right?
No, but I believe it's the same thing.
Yeah, it's the same company and everything. But we were there. We ran the merch. We talked to people about the show. We gave out some shirts. Had a good time.
Gave out some Lineup Media shirts. Gave out some Surreal Talk shirts.
Sold a shit ton of regular
I spread
merch.
The Surreal Talk seed all over Atlantic City is what I did.
Gross.
Yeah, I did.
Did you run around spray painting our logo and stuff?
Oh, yeah. The eye. All
I thought
that?
I seen
everywhere.
Like four or five strip clubs. Yeah. Is that a coincidence?
Strip clubs. No, I wasn't there.
Sure, that wasn't you?
Nope.
So this week we're going to continue the marijuana show.
We
planned originally actually to do all three parts in Atlantic City. So between the long days and the tons of walking, it just was not a conducive atmosphere for doing a podcast.
No,
you saw what we got on the first part. The second and third would have just been horrible. We wanted to actually come back that Tuesday and record them. That didn't work. Eric had something going on. I don't know. He had some important stuff to take care of. It's a mystery, but who cares? So we rescheduled to yesterday, like we were saying, and that didn't work out either. So today's the day. We're finally doing it.
We are here now.
Today we're going to talk about the conspiracy behind the prohibition of marijuana, what things were involved with getting marijuana illegalized.
Up with hope, down with dope.
We're titling today's show, Marijuana, the Devil's Lettuce. That's in honor of listener Marissa Johnson, who...
Yeah, she always calls it the Devil's Lettuce.
She turned us on to that. I don't know that she always does. She just one time in a thread one time, she called it the Devil's Lettuce and cracked me up. I don't know.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I wouldn't call it devils, but...
No, but if you think about it in the way we're talking about...
Definitely a propaganda term, for
exactly.
Sure. Slang, for sure.
Yeah, so it works out well. We're also going to be doing the third part of the show today, which is the pop culture part, which I can't wait to do.
Yeah, pop culture should be fun.
I mean, who hasn't seen 100 different, you know, weed movies from Harold and Kumar to Dazed and Confused to Cheech and Chong? So that ought to be pretty
Pineapple
fun.
Express.
We can go on all day. I mean, we will.
Yeah. I throw joints all over fucking town, man.
That was funny. Okay, so let's hop right into it.
Legality?
The legality of it. So marijuana has not always been illegal.
No.
Contrary to popular belief. For most of human history, it's been completely legal. It's actually been illegal for less than 1% of the time that it's been in use.
Really?
So that's pretty nuts. Usage, we can date usage back all the way over 7,000 BC. There's been Chinese tombs opened up. They've had hemp and marijuana flowers inside of the tombs.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much huge. It's got an incredible number of uses. So from woven fabric to hemp rope to any kind of cloth, you can make incense out of it.
Paper, oil.
So, did you know the first laws in America though regarding marijuana were not for its prohibition? But they were must-grow laws. So the first one was in Jamestown Colony, Virginia, 1619.
Right, right.
It was a law that ordered all farmers to grow the Indian hemp seed.
Really?
It's because of how sails were made out of it, all the rigging and roping on,
Right.
It was in hot demand. If you didn't have a lot of,
industrial hemp was useful.
They made you grow it. You could be jailed for not growing it.
Really?
Yep. During the time of shortage between 1763 and 1767, that's what happened. People were jailed for not growing it. Hemp was even a legal tender back then. You could pay your taxes with hemp.
Really?
Believe that. So
pay your rent with a bag of weed.
That's right. Hey, man, I'm a little short this week, but I got the sticky icky. You know what I mean? I don't know if it'd work that way today.
Depends on the landlord, I guess.
Yep. In the census of 1850 actually counted 8,327 hemp plantations. Which plantation is a 2,000 acre or greater farm.
Really? And the over 8,000 of them?
8,000 plantations growing hemp for cloth and canvas and for cordage, even the cordage used for baling cotton. So that's pretty nuts. Hemp, before it was the devil's lettuce, was basically the wonder product. It grows fast. You can make anything out of it.
Yeah, so, and doesn't it, per ton, the pulp that it produces is way better than
it's
trees.
Yeah, 25 tons of biomass per acre.
I think we talked about this last week.
I don't remember.
I don't remember either. What I was saying was that, and it takes way less time to grow.
Right.
So, a fucking full-size tree takes years.
William Randolph Hearst, and we'll get to that, too. That was something he didn't like about it, because he had spent tons of money investing in millions of acres of timber for paper production. But we'll get to that. So there's a Mexican connection to the
there always is.
That's funny. So in the early 1900s, the western states of the U.S. developed significant tensions regarding the influx of Mexican Americans. So there's a lot of migrants coming in. The Mexican Revolution of 1910 had a lot to do with that. A lot of people spilled over the border. We had General Pershing's army clashing with the bandit Pancho Villa. So later in Pancho Villa.
Yeah.
Every time you hear Pancho Villa, you got to spit it. So later in that decade, some bad feelings developed between the small farmers and the large farms that used the cheap Mexican labor. Obviously, if you got a large farm and you're stacking it with cheap Mexican labor, the little guys are going to be pissed off. So you can sell your shit tons you're making with cheap dirt labor for way less. You're undercutting all these cheap guys. So that's going to make the Mexicans look bad there. So you got all the small farms looking at all these Mexican laborers coming in, allowing the big farmers to make shit tons of money. That's going to piss people off. So that kind of shit was going on early 1900s. The Depression came about. And there was a lot of more tension. I guess that was kind of after this, so.
Yeah.
Let me look through my notes here and get reacquainted here.
Well, did you want to talk about Prohibition first off?
Oh, sorry. What makes the Mexicans important here is that they actually brought marijuana with them. And California was actually the first state to make it illegal.
Now, wait, hold up now. You just told me that in 1600 in Jamestown, they were made to grow weed, so the Mexicans didn't bring it with them.
Hemp. It's a difference.
Okay.
So Mexicans actually brought marijuana, the drug part of
the bud.
Yeah, like the different part of the plant, that's used for that. So California had the first, they had the first state law outlawing the preparations of hemp, or a.k.a. loco weed, as they called it. Let's see.
My boss, when I do something stupid, my boss asks me if I'm smoking wacky tobacco.
So another interesting thing, one of the first reasons to have marijuana outlawed in a state was not because of Mexicans, but because of Mormons.
They're saying a bit too much gain on the mics. You're loud. You're too close. Too much gain.
Too loud? Let me turn that down. Gain, hold on just a sec.
Turn that down a little bit.
Yeah. Pause for Surreal Talk so we can get our mics in order. I don't know.
We'll try that. I took it down by about 20%.
All right, that should probably be better.
Okay, we'll see if that does any better.
Let us know if that's better, fellas.
So anyway, one of the first state laws to outlaw marijuana was not just against Mexicans, though, but because of Mormons. Mormons who had traveled to Mexico in 1910 and came back to Salt Lake City with marijuana. So they got down there, they were like, hey, 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 what do you got here?
That shit cool.
Not only do I have eight wives, I'm going to toke up.
Right. I can't. I mean, eight wives, you're going to need some weed.
So I got a note here in my notes. The source for this is a speculation from articles of Charles Whitebread, professor of law at USC Law School, and a paper for the Virginia Law Review.
Really?
So apparently the Mormon thing is kind of a...
sketchy.
Yeah.
Right.
I guess I should have read... I put that note before I read it.
Okay, so...
Well, there was other states that quickly followed suit, including Wyoming in 1915, Texas in 1919, Iowa in 1923, Nevada in 23, Oregon in 23, Washington in 23, Arkansas in 23, and Nebraska in 1927. These laws were tended to specifically target Mexican immigrants. So they had all these people coming into these farm states, and they were pissed off about it. So all the little farmers got a hold of their, you know, senators and whatnot. Let's get some laws passed about anti-marijuana. So when Montana outlawed marijuana in 1927, the Butte, Montana Standard, or is it Butte?
Butte.
Butte. The Butte, Montana Standard reported a legislator's comment. When some beet-filled peon takes a few traces of this stuff, he thinks he's just been elected president of Mexico, so he starts out to execute all his political enemies.
Back up just a little bit. We're still hot.
What's that?
We're still hot, so back up. Just pull her back.
We're still hot?
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to gain this down then.
Oh.
Jeez.
Still hear you. Sorry.
That's what you get when you're...
He, like Everett said earlier, we had our board burn up before we got... When we got into the shop or into the studio today, it was like a shop. See, I don't work. But we got into the studio today, all we smelled was burnt rubber and plastic because the board blew up. So Everett on the fly replaced the board, put a new board in.
Didn't have much time to really get...
No, that's why I said on the fly. So that might be with the...
Did you tell it to turn down there?
Yeah, I can a little bit, yeah. Okay. So that might be the difference that you guys
are
hearing.
We'll check and see now if it's any better. God, yeah, now I'm quiet. I can turn my headphones up. We turn yours up a little?
No, I mean, I guess you can a little. I don't know.
Check.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't know.
Maybe I'm not even on anymore, I don't think.
You don't think you can hear you?
I'm just kidding. I'm fine.
All right. Let's see. Did you get the legislator's comment I just said?
No.
So a legislator in Montana was quoted in the Butte Standard that when a beet field peon takes a few traces of this stuff, I guess hits, he thinks he has just been elected president of Mexico, so he starts out to execute all his political enemies. So he's telling people, like a propaganda type piece.
Oh my gosh.
These Mexicans come up here, they start smoking this devil weed, and then they start killing anybody who's their enemy because they're all stoned, and that's what they do. He's also a senator on the floor of the Senate said, all Mexicans are crazy, and this stuff, marijuana, is what makes them crazy. So isn't that kind of weird?
It's just, it's sickening, man. The people spread false lies and rumors like that about such a natural.
That's not what I'm getting at. It's like
plant.
It's kind of a weird plan. What I mean is a weird plan for these guys. They're going to go anti-Mexican, so we're going to get rid of their weed. These Mexicans like weed, so we're going to hit them where it hurts.
Oh yeah, because they're all just so hooked on weed that if you get rid of weed, it'll solve
the
Mexican problem.
They're going back to Mexico.
What the fuck?
Thinking about that.
It doesn't make much sense.
That's the best
stuff.
Of logic. I'm going to take away your weed, and you're going to go home.
Yeah.
Let's see.
No more weed in America. No more reason for Mexicans to be here, I guess. If that don't sound like some Trump shit, I don't know what does.
Let's not get all, you know. Here's some more stuff. In the eastern United States, the problem was attributed to a combination of Latin Americans, so Mexicans, Hispanics, and black jazz musicians.
Oh, yeah.
Marijuana and jazz traveled from New Orleans to Chicago and then to Harlem, where marijuana became an indispensable part of the music scene, even entering the language of the black hits of the time, like Louis Armstrong's song The Muggles or Cab Calloway's That Funny Reefer Man. And, you know, there's just a bunch of songs even back in the day about weed in the jazz circuit. So
there's a bunch of songs today about weed.
Since it started, it ain't stopped.
No.
You know what I mean? Somebody's like, this is good. I got to write a song. Racism was always, or again, against the charge against marijuana, as in newspapers in 1934 editorialized, marijuana influences Negroes to look at white people in the eye and step on white men's shadows and look at a white woman twice.
Are you serious?
Yeah, this was, there's something called yellow journalism. I'll get to that to you in a minute. William Randolph Hearst, like I had said before, had a big anti-marijuana smear campaign. One, because he had a problem with the Mexicans due to the fact he bought 800,000 acres of timberland in Mexico.
Right.
But lost that during the Mexican Revolution in 1910. They appropriated it back to the state. So he was kind of pissed at Mexicans there, for one. Part two is he has millions and millions of timber or acres of timber he's bought for cheap paper production.
Right.
So he doesn't want hemp to be cultivated at all.
And the easiest cutting on his profits.
The easiest way to do that is try to lobby for the legalization of the bad part of the same plant, more or less.
Right.
My phone is blowing up here.
Will you tell your phone to shut up?
April, remind. Not during the show, Ape. I hope you're watching. She's texting me reminders during the show. What was I talking about? Oh, William Randolph Hearst and his bullshit. Any which way, moving on. Two other fear factors that's kind of started to spread. One was that Mexicans, blacks, and other foreigners were snaring white children with marijuana. And two, the early story of assassins. Now, this I found funny and had to look it up and verify it. Early stories in Marco Polo had told of hashish eaters, or hashashin.
Hashashins?
Hashashin, which derived the term assassin. In the original stories, these professional killers were given large doses of hash and brought to the ruler's garden to give them, you know, a glimpse of
life. So they'd fuck them up on hash and make them go kill people?
Right. They were telling them, this is what the paradise is, man, whenever you get done with this job. So then they'd, they'd come down off the hash, and then they go, you know, kill somebody. Cool and calculated. But that's how the word assassin was born, from hashashin.
Hashashin.
Hash eaters.
Huh.
Isn't that weird?
That is weird.
Just that's kind of like one of the few violent connections marijuana has to anything. Are we still hot? Has anybody said anything?
No, we're way better. Everybody said good.
Okay,
yeah, good. We've got thumbs up and all that good shit.
Good.
So I wanted to stop you right there, and we'll kind of go through where we're at now in America with...
Oh, I haven't even got started on to why it's illegal.
Oh,
I'm just building the
go
base,
ahead.
Sir.
Let's get it, then.
I'm just building the base. We get to the meat of it, then? Start talking about Harry Anslinger?
Yeah.
So in 1930, a new division of the... let's go back a little further. In America, there had never been a case where a drug was illegal by law. What was it? The 10th? I believe the 10th Amendment states that what is not illegal in the Constitution will be left up to the states or the people to make a law about. So basically, that was used for the states to say, no, you can't make it illegal. So what would happen at the time, there was something called the Harrison Act, which governed the legal use of opiates and cocaine. So they can regulate it. And then in 1930, the Treasury Department establishes the Federal Bureau of Narcotics, to which a man named Harry J. Anslinger was named director. This was pretty much the beginning of the war in marijuana. Harry Anslinger looked at marijuana as both a way to define a problem and give himself a job eliminating the problem.
Really?
Look at it. You got people who are already talking bad about marijuana due to a Mexican connection. And it's a drug. He's been named to the Bureau of Narcotics. So if he makes marijuana like persona non grata, you know what I mean, the number one thing in America to go against, that puts him right at the forefront of this big, you know, big war against drugs.
Yeah.
Now he's elevated himself in career. That's exactly what he did. He was really ambitious. So he used marijuana more or less as a way to up his own career.
Yeah, to boost his...
Right. Let's see. Here's my notes I got. He was a very ambitious man, obviously. He recognized that the Bureau of Narcotics is an amazing career opportunity, a new government agency with the opportunity to both define the problem and the solution, just like I said there. He immediately realized that the opiates and cocaine wouldn't be enough to help build this agency. So, you know, they were shown before with the Harrison Act, that wasn't enough. People don't care enough about cocaine and heroin. But
I've got to get that bad shit, though.
The devil weed that's out there now that the Mexicans and the jazz musicians are using. Anyway. So he immediately starts in upon marijuana, drawing on the themes of racism and violence to get national attention to the problem that he's creating. You know
what I mean? Oh, yeah. Yeah, so he's producing his own – he's actually making the problem seem more problematic than it actually is so that it's, you know, helping his cause out a little bit. Is that kind of what's going on? He's making
pretty much – he had something he called the Gore Files, which was tales that he frequently read from that were Reefer Madness-style stories
fucking
of marijuana.
Just big propaganda.
Tales of axe murders and sex with Negroes and crazy shit like that, right?
Yeah, oh, fuck.
Here are some quotes that Anslinger have been widely attributed to Anslinger and his Gore Files.
So right,
six or seven of them. You're gonna love these. There are 100,000. I'm gonna put on an accent here. I don't know how he sounds, but I want to say it differently.
Southern.
There are 100,000 total marijuana smokers in the U.S. and most are Negroes, Hispanics, Filipinos, and entertainers. Their satanic music, jazz, and swing result from marijuana use. This marijuana causes white women to seek sexual relations with Negroes, entertainers, and any others.
So. This guy's got it all fucking wrong. I mean.
Yeah. Here's another quote. The primary reason to outlaw marijuana is its effect on the degenerate races. These are quotes this guy made. The degenerate races.
The degenerate races?
Yeah, that's what he says. And back in the day, people were like, oh, yeah.
You can't say that shit.
Not these days.
No.
Back in the day, people were like, shit.
Oh.
Marijuana is an addictive drug which produces in its users insanity, criminality, and death. That's just crazy.
Oh, death?
Death. It'll kill you. Reefer makes darkies think they're as good as white men. Okay.
No, that's what no, come ones. On now.
Yep. These are quotes I found.
That guy's saying that shit for real?
Yep. Marijuana leads to pacifism and communist brainwashing. Now, I can see pacifism.
Maybe.
The hippies, I mean.
I dabbled in pacifism once. Not Nam, of course, but.
That was one of his best quotes.
Yeah.
Does that count as a weed movie? I guess kind of.
Yeah. Mind if I do a J? He's in the fucking.
Big Lebowski's office.
Yeah. Man. No, I'm talking about driving down the road when he hits that fucking dumpster.
Oh, that was great.
Smashes into that fucking dumpster.
Anyway. He loved to pull out his own version of the assassin definition. He says, and this is a quote from him, in the year 1090, there was founded in Persia the religious and military order of the assassins, whose history is one of cruelty, barbarity, and murder, and for good reason. The members were confirmed users of hashish, or marijuana, and it is from the Arabs, that we have the English word assassin.
That's just fucking crazy that it came from hashashin.
Hashashin. Hash eater. So, okay, here's the part of my notes I got labeled as yellow journalism. This is where Hearst comes in. So Harry Anslinger got some additional help from William Randolph Hearst.
Right.
Obviously the owner of a huge chain of newspapers. Everybody knows who Hearst is. Hearst had lots of reasons to help. First, he hated Mexicans. Like I said, he had invested heavily in timber to support his newspapers. It didn't want to see hemp cultivation go up and fix that. And he lost, again, like I said, 800,000 acres of timberland to Pancho Villa. So, obviously he hated. I did not get that. And you're quick on it, too, which is fucking great. I don't know. Pancho Villa.
Yeah, this is what it is.
Cracking me up. Let's see. Fourth, he was telling lurid lies about Mexicans and the devil marijuana weed causing violence, selling newspapers, and that made him rich. So just telling these lies, white people, I guess, are eating it up.
Let's stop that right there. It doesn't make you violent.
No.
Not unless, somebody ripped you off hundreds of dollars on it.
Destroyed Twinkies, if you consider that violence.
I will fuck up a bag of Doritos, okay?
I have murdered pizzas. I have raped hot dogs, if that's possible.
That or they have raped you. One of the two.
Hey, we're not going to talk about my Saturdays.
All right, Everett, please speak in this accent form from now on.
I don't know if you want me to do. I don't even know what it is.
Look, man.
I can't just do accents like.
It's got to be on. Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I'm not that good. I'm not like one of those guys. All right, here's some examples from the San Francisco Examiner of some of the headlines. Marijuana makes fiends of boys in 30 days.
Fiends of boys.
Hashish goads users into bloodlust. I'm trying to do it like.
It's like this is Clone Wars, the beginning.
But that's what that's from, though.
That's
from the old school 1930s when you go into
exactly.
the theater
it's
to
propaganda.
See the news.
Yeah. It's propaganda for sure.
By the tons that's coming into this country, the deadly, dreadful poison that racks and tears not only the body but the very heart and soul of every human being who once becomes a slave to it in any of its cruel and devastating forms. Marijuana is a shortcut to the insane asylum. Smoke marijuana cigarettes for a month, and what was once your brain will
Reefers.
Be nothing but a storehouse of horrid specters. Hashish makes a murderer who kills for the love of killing out of the mild-mannerest man who ever laughed at the idea that the habit could ever get him. This is some crazy shit, eh?
Yeah, oh yeah. You know what I just thought about when you said that? They were living in an apartment. Three individuals.
No, they were living in a
single apartment.
Single room apartment. One of them a male.
The other two? Well, the other two were females.
We'll get to that. That's the next
God part. Only knows what they were up to in there.
And furthermore, Susan, I wouldn't be surprised to learn.
The least bit surprised to learn that all four of them habitually smoked marijuana cigarettes.
Reefers. Well, let me see if I can do that.
Yeah, I can't get a ball. Yeah. Dun, 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 dun. 40 ounces. No, that was Smoke Two Joints.
Smoke Two Joints, yeah.
It's such a good song.
Anyway, here's some more from Nationwide columns of the time. Users of marijuana become stimulated as they inhale the drug and are likely to do anything. Most crimes of violence in this section, especially in country districts, are laid to users of that drug. So not only they're saying it makes you violent, that all violent crimes now stem from marijuana.
And that you'll literally do anything, while on marijuana.
Fuck
it. Okay, so you don't even have to really read any more propaganda. As far as it goes, they basically made it out to where the American public thought that this was the worst shit ever.
And you know what's funny? To this day, that still sticks. People still have a stigma against weed.
That right there is the reason why. Is that
90 years later, there is still a stigma that people who don't smoke weed, they think, I don't know what the shit's going to do with me. But they'll sit there and do 15 fucking slugs of, you know, tequila.
Uh-huh.
And if you do 15 shots of tequila, you're almost dead. You're fucked up beyond belief.
You're trashed, yeah. I mean, unless you're an alky.
You do 15 hits of weed, you might be, like, couch locked. But you're going to be fine in 15, 20 minutes.
Yeah,
you're going to be hungrier and shit.
He dead. He ain't dead. He's going to wake up in a half hour and eat up all the food in your house.
Mostly dead, which is different from really dead, or all dead.
Yeah. Mostly dead. Yeah, that was Princess Bride.
Yeah, Miracle Max.
Yeah.
I got one more quote.
All right, let's hear some propaganda. Come on.
Wasn't marijuana the new Mexican drug that nerved the murderous arm of Clara Phillips when she hammered out her victim's life in Los Angeles? 3/4 of the crimes of violence in this country today are committed by dope slaves. That is a matter of cold slaves. Record.
Dope slaves, huh?
That is a matter of cold record.
Cold record?
Cold record.
It's just sad. Did you know 52% of the population in America today as of 2016 is for legalization, full-on recreational use of marijuana? 52% of this
What's
country.
What's 52%?
No, how about not the 48%?
Not the 52 that voted, I guess.
The other percentage. You know.
Not the 52 that are in Congress.
Not the 48%, but the other portion of the country.
Oh, I got you.
You know.
All right. Hearst and Anslinger were supported by the DuPont Chemical Company, and various pharmaceutical companies in the effort to outlaw cannabis. DuPont had patented in nylon and wanted hemp removed as competition. Because, again, with hemp oil, you make the same type of shit they're making out of regular oil.
Right.
Which plastics and shit that DuPont is famous for creating.
Yeah, I heard one time that a plastic bottle, a water bottle, if it was made out of hemp, would only take 80 days to biodegrade.
That's interesting.
Yeah, but it takes a full-on plastic water bottle a lot fucking longer.
Rocket Smoke, they made that whole fucking truck out of weed, apparently.
Yeah, that's right.
That was so dumb. The pharmaceutical companies can neither identify nor standardize cannabis dosages. And besides, with cannabis, folks could grow their own medicine and not have to purchase it from pharmaceutical companies. So they didn't want it. They couldn't say how much you got to take. So you can't really sell a drug when you.
Yeah, there's really no ceiling.
And then, why should we allow people to make their own medicine? We can't make any money off if you can grow it in your backyard. Illegal.
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 So Sarah Franco says that her mom used to work for the DEA and her mom actually believed that weed was the gateway drug and caused many crimes. So they even lie to brainwash their employees, is what she says.
Yeah, we got another listener who's from South Africa, and they just recently legalized marijuana in South Africa, which in like the last 2 or 3 weeks, I believe.
Really?
She was a social worker over there and said that marijuana actually is involved in a lot of the gang initiations over there. And they will go out.
How
and
do, so? They just smoke a blunt with each other?
They'll get drunk and smoke a bunch of weed, and they'll go out and they'll have to beat people up.
Oh, okay.
And from her, you know.
I wouldn't think that'd be easier high, though.
I wouldn't think so either.
Right. Anyways, keep going. Sorry.
But I'm just saying, from her point of view, she's seen the badness of weed. She's seen that it can be used as a gateway drug. So, and that's a social worker saying that. You know what I mean? Are you paying attention or are you reading the chat again?
No, I'm not reading the chat. I was reading something else. It was pretty rough. But go ahead. Yeah,
anyway.
Keep going.
My point is, you could look at it from both sides. You know what I mean? It can be bad if used by bad people. Right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I mean, no. It's not. That's not right. No. That's not right.
Weed can be bad. Okay. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's not right.
Bad people can use weed and do bad stuff.
Yeah, but the same could be said is that exactly. It's not because of weed. It's the person.
What about the gateway drug thing? Do you buy that?
DARE removed marijuana from their gateway drug list. That marijuana, according to DARE, is no longer a gateway drug.
You don't think that there's any kind of truth to that? You don't think that it helped gateway to you at all? Like you saw weed and like, man, I want to get a little more fucked up on something else?
No.
It had nothing to do with it at all?
Nope.
100% you're sure of that?
Yeah.
Let me ask you
alcohol,
this. Had you never smoked
alcohol,
weed?
Way more of a gateway drug than marijuana.
Okay, that's fair. Had you never smoked weed, would you have ever did anything else?
Yeah.
You think you would have still?
Yeah, sure. Yeah, definitely, because I still drink, you know, alcohol and went to parties. So, I mean, I wouldn't even say that weed's such a gateway drug more than your friends are. Your friends are your gateway drugs.
Fair enough.
You know, hey, man, try this shit. You know, that's more of a gateway drug than smoking weed and saying, I think I'll try some heroin.
What are you, a pussy? Try this.
This weed makes me want to snort heroin. I can't believe this. I've smoked weed and now I want to inject heroin.
That's how it happened.
That's not at all realistic of how things happen in real life. So as far as it being a gateway drug, you need to attribute the gateway. You know, if you're going on to something else, it ain't just because you're, you know, smoking pot, I feel like. I feel like you either want to get higher.
An addictive personality. Or
yeah, or your friends are doing it. Or, yeah, peer pressure, you said. I wouldn't attribute all of that gatewayness. Mm-hmm. Gatewayness probably not a good way to say it. But I wouldn't chalk that up to weed.
I wouldn't either.
Marijuana, not a bit.
So all of this shit sets the stage for the Marijuana Tax Act of 1937. After 2 years of secret planning, Anslinger brings his plan to Congress, complete with a scrapbook full of sensational Hearst editorials, stories of axe murderers who supposedly smoked marijuana, and a bunch of racial slurs is what this guy brings, basically. It was a remarkably short set of hearings. This is the best part of this whole story.
Yes.
The one fly in Anslinger's ointment was the appearance of Dr. William C. Woodward, legislative counsel of the American Medical Association. So this guy's a lawyer working for the AMA. Woodward started by slamming Harry Anslinger and the Bureau of Narcotics for distorting earlier AMA statements that had nothing to do with marijuana and making them appear to be AMA endorsements of Anslinger's view. So he's like, first of all, motherfucker, we weren't talking about that. Don't say we said that.
Right.
That's great. I love this guy already. He also reproached the legislator and the Bureau for using the term marijuana in the legislation and not publicizing it as a bill about cannabis or hemp. He says at this point, marijuana was a sensationalist word used to refer to the Mexicans smoking the drug and had not been connected in most people's minds to the existing cannabis and hemp plant. So they were using marijuana. He's like, hey, second of all, stop saying marijuana, okay? That's what Mexicans call it. And when you do that, it's racist and obviously fucking fear-mongering.
Really? So by calling it marijuana, they were considering it like you're fear-mongering people.
That's exactly what this AMA lawyer says.
I'm with it.
Let's see. He went on to state that the AMA was opposed to the legislation and further questioned the approach of the hearings, coming close to outright accusation of misconduct by Anslinger and the committee. He says that there is a certain amount of narcotic addiction that is an objectionable character no one will deny. The newspapers have called attention to it so prominently that there must be some grounds for it. So even he was like, newspapers can't be completely wrong.
Yeah, they can.
Well,
you work for one.
But even that's how bad the propaganda was at the time. Even this guy's like, well, the newspapers are so hardcore, they've surely did their job.
I mean, and as far as like propaganda back then, that propaganda is still alive, like we talked about 90 years later, still alive and well today, because you'll get people that aren't into this that will, if you talk to them about it, like,
churchies.
Drug addicts.
I'd say churchies.
You drug addict.
And uptight people.
Uptight people, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, he continues. It has surprised me, however, that the facts on which these statements have been based have not been brought before this committee by competent primary evidence. We are referred to by newspaper publications concerning the prevalence of marijuana addiction. So he's saying, we're not being shown science fact. You're showing me newspaper headlines.
Right.
We are told that the use of marijuana causes crimes, but yet no one has been produced from the Bureau of Prisons to show the number of prisoners who have been found addicted to the marijuana habit. An informed inquiry shows that the Bureau of Prisons has no evidence to that point. So he's like, I called them. They don't track that.
Yeah, right. So that's just all, again, propaganda.
Right. Where are we going? You have been told that school children are great users of marijuana cigarettes. Yet no one has been summoned from the Children's Bureau to show the nature and extent of the habit among children.
Yeah, like how many fifth graders are in rehab right now for weed?
He says inquiry of the Children's Bureau shows that they have no occasion to investigate it and know nothing particularly of it.
Fuck.
Inquiry of the Office of Education, and he says they should certainly know something of the prevalence of the habit among the school children of the country.
You would think, Office of Education.
If there is a prevalent habit, indicates that they have had no occasion to investigate it and know nothing of it. Moreover, there is in the Treasury Department itself, the Public Health Service, which is Division of Mental Hygiene. The Division of Mental Hygiene was, in fact, in the first place, the Division of Narcotics. So they changed it over from Mental Hygiene to the Division of Narcotics. It was converted into the Division of Mental Hygiene, I think, about 1930. This is what that guy's still saying.
Right.
That particular bureau has control at the present time of the narcotics farms that were created about 1929, 1930, and came into operation a few years later. No one has been summoned from that bureau to give any evidence on that point. Informal inquiry by me indicates that they have had no record of any marijuana or cannabis addicts who have ever been committed to those farms. And by farms, he means like insane asylums.
Right.
So and he goes on to say, the Bureau of Public Health Service also has a division of pharmacology. If you desire evidence as to the pharmacology of cannabis, That is obviously the place where you can get direct and primary evidence rather than indirect hearsay evidence. So that's what he had to say about it. They immediately proceed to attack him, questioning his motives in opposing the legislation. Even the chairman of the legislation joins in. If you want to advise us on the legislation, you ought to come in here with some constructive proposals rather than criticism, rather than try to throw obstacles in the way of something that the federal government is trying to do. It has not only an unselfish motive in this, but they have a serious responsibility. Isn't that fucked up? Hey, man, we're trying to do something. You're coming here and putting this kibosh on it.
Right, so the more that you actually learn about Weed's history, the more bullshit you actually, like...
It's people building their careers on the backs of it.
It's not building, not even building their careers, but making their fortunes off of the backs of marijuana prohibition and the propaganda that is involved in that.
And creating racism around it, stepping on, the degenerate races.
That literally, they've done nothing good. I would honestly say, I would go as far as say you've hurt more people than you've helped with your marijuana bullshit, America.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
He goes on to say, the nation is almost defenseless against it, having no federal laws to cope with it and virtually no organized campaign for combating it. The result is tragic. School children are the prey of the peddlers who infest school neighborhoods. High school boys and girls buy the destructive weed without knowledge of its capacity of harm, and conscienceless dealers will sell it with impunity.
Damn dealers.
This is a pretty severe indictment. They say it is a national question that it requires effective legislation. Of course, let's see. Yeah, that's basically it. Yellow journalism wins over science at this point. All the smear campaigns, all the propaganda wins out over science in the AMA in making this tax act possible. So the tax act itself basically creates a stamp. You got to have the stamp to sell marijuana.
You got to have the stamp.
So while it's not illegal at that point in time to sell marijuana,
you have to have that stamp.
And there's only one of them, and they're not producing any more of them.
Really?
That's what it was. They created one of them. You couldn't buy it.
So there was one marijuana stamp.
And they wouldn't sell any. They wouldn't sell it.
Well, motherfuckers.
Yep. Oh, boy.
So why don't we go through some of the state's legalizations, how each individual state is dealing with combating the marijuana issue on their own.
I'm still not done.
Oh, well, keep going.
We haven't actually gotten to the illegal part of marijuana yet, just the start of it.
You're just still hammering on propaganda.
Well, no, I'm going to give you some more stuff. Okay, so on the basis of all the lies and stuff, in 1937, marijuana becomes illegal at the federal level. The New York Times has their coverage on it. It starts like this. President Roosevelt signed today a bill to curb traffic in narcotic marijuana through heavy taxes on transactions. So, man, I didn't have my notes too well on this part here. Hold on. Hey, stall.
No, well, I'm reading. Dude, they're killing it in the chat over here.
Are they?
Yeah, they're talking about how, you know, they should use the money for marijuana. You know, like how the prisons are privately owned and being empty isn't good on them, because she was talking about how they could make so much more space in the prisons if they didn't prosecute marijuana offenders.
Oh, totally true.
And, he's saying that, you know, well, prisons are a private industry. You know, empty space isn't good for business. Right. And that's completely 100% true. You know what I mean? That's completely true. Yeah, it's fucking crazy, man, that they're prosecuting people for this still. That's my whole thing. Like, how can you put people in jail for this, man? You're really going to put people in jail for this now? Still?
At this point, it's crazy.
Yeah, why? Why are you putting people in jail for a plant?
If somebody, well, I can give you a lot of good reasons. If you're dealing in giant amounts of it and having illegal sales.
What good? I don't want somebody, give me a reason why where I would be like, okay, that guy deserves to go to prison. Okay. Give me a
Only for this, since it is illegal, and violence will come from things that are illegal. So if you can't legally do this, you got to create your own security.
So you're taking the black market aspect of it is what you're worried about.
Exactly right. The black market violence surrounds that, especially at the higher levels. If you're talking millions of dollars of something like marijuana,
right.
You're going to want to have people with guns protecting your stash, because the police aren't going to do it. You know what I mean?
I guess, but what about at the same time whenever a truck ships pharmaceutical pills to a pharmacy?
They get jacked too, but it's a lot, you know, there's less of a stigma. You know what I mean? You can put it in a truck, and then that truck basically can go right down the regular highway and know that if it gets in any kind of trouble, it can call the police.
Right.
You know what I mean? There's highway patrol that'll come and help you. If you got bales of marijuana in your truck, the last thing you want to do is have the police pull you over.
You should be able to, though.
Should. Can't. That's my point. Because it's illegal. And then it's a crime. It begets more crime.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
So the only way to combat that would be to...
I'm not saying the only way, but
One of the good, yeah, legalized would be a great way.
Yeah. Let's see. Going on, Anslinger was essentially like the first drug czar, even though the term didn't exist. Czar.
Oh yeah.
Jug czar.
Kind of like a coupe.
Yeah, kind of like a coupe.
A czar.
Yep. Even though the term didn't exist until William Bennett's position as the director of the White House Office of National Drug Policy, Anslinger did act in a similar fashion, though. Let's see. Anslinger even had the ability to circumvent the First Amendment. He banned the Canadian movie Drug Addict in 1946.
Mm-hmm. It was a documentary. Sort of like Reefer Madness propaganda. Well, I've never watched it.
Well, no, it's not like that. It was a documentary that realistically depicted the drug addicts in law enforcement efforts.
So it was a realistic thing.
Right,
huh?
And he had it banned. It was a Canadian movie. He said, nope.
What a fucker. Because it portrayed it in a good light versus...
Not a bad light.
Not a bad light. Okay, maybe not a good light.
Scientific.
Just in a fair light anyway, right? Fair, okay.
He even tried to get Canada to ban it. Failing that, he tried to prevent U.S. citizens from going to the movie to see it. Like, Canada, if we have people come over here, you can't let Americans in your theater to see that movie. Canada kind of laughed at that.
Really?
So they're like, no.
Yeah, go fuck yourself, huh?
Yep. He had 37 years, though, to solidify the propaganda and stifle the opposition to the legalization of marijuana, or illegalization. The lies continued the entire time. In 1967, he looked back at his efforts and thought, most of the irrational juvenile violence and then that has written a new chapter of... Let me restart. Much of the most irrational juvenile violence, and that has written a new chapter. That doesn't even make sense. This is a quote I'm reading. It doesn't make sense.
No. The guy sounds like he had a stroke.
I'll try to keep reading it and see if I can get any sense out of it. A new chapter of shame and tragedy is traceable directly to hemp intoxication. So he says most of the irrational juvenile violence can be traced to hemp intoxication. A gang of boys tears the clothes from two schoolgirls and rape the screaming girls, one boy after another. A 16-year-old kills his entire family of five in Florida. A man in Minnesota puts a bullet through the head of a stranger on the road. In Colorado, a husband tries to shoot his wife, kills her grandmother instead, and then kills himself. Every one of these crimes have been preceded by the smoking of marijuana reefers.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yep. As the marijuana situation grew worse, I knew action had to be taken to get the proper legislation passed. By 1937... By 1937, under my direction, the Bureau launched two important steps. First, a legislative plan to seek from Congress a new law that would place marijuana and its distribution directly under federal control. Second, on radio and at major forums, such that presented annually by the New York Herald Tribune, I told the story of this evil weed of the fields and riverbeds and roadsides. I wrote articles for magazines. Our agents gave out hundreds of lectures to parents, educators, social and civic leaders. In network broadcast, I reported on the growing list of crimes, including murder and rape. I described the nature of marijuana and its close kinship to hashish. I continued to hammer at these facts. I believe we did a thorough job, for the public was alerted, and the laws to protect them were passed both nationally and at the state levels. We brought under our control the wild growing marijuana in this country. Working with local authorities, we cleaned up hundreds of acres of marijuana and uprooted sprouts, planting along roadsides.
So, unless...
Looking back, this guy's way proud of the fucking shit he started.
Well, okay, yeah, right. So, that guy aside, unless you do your own research about marijuana, 90% of the information that's out there that's commonly known today is all based on propaganda and lies. Unless you're actually actively researching marijuana, you're not going to get the truth about it. You're going to go based on what people have been saying for the last 50 years, what your mom says, what the DEA says, what this person says. Of course, if we went by what our mom says about marijuana, it'd be like...
Well, what'd it be like?
Go ahead.
Well, she never said go ahead. We were kids, dude. If we would have had weed, kids, you would have beat our ass.
Listen, let me tell you something.
Smoker or not of
marijuana, You were moved out by this time, okay?
I moved out when I was 18, so it couldn't have been... So let me... 16.
Story time. No, this is when I was 18. Story time. I smoked pot. Mom knew I smoked pot. She found my pot stash in that little chest that I had, that little red...
Sure.
Okay, so she found it. Knew I smoked pot. Knew I got high. Wouldn't get high with me because I was 17 years old. But
you were 18.
Wait. But my friend was 18. So she would get high with my friend, and
I'm sure
I would have to go...
She loves you busting her out on the air about smoking weed.
Yeah, you're probably right.
She's going to fucking kill you, actually. You just... Prank call, wrong number, moving off.
Prank caller.
She's going to kill you. We just better not ever mention this.
Yeah, we just don't tell her about the episode. But, like, she'd get with my friend, because he was 18.
Sorry, Mom.
But I wasn't 18, so it was like, what the F, you know? Why do I got to sit outside the bedroom and know what's going on? Like, when me and my friend leave, that's the fuck we're going to go do. But anyway, so I feel like everything that you're going to hear about marijuana without doing your own research is propaganda and lies, man. You know what I mean?
I agree. Let me see what I got here. So in 1961, I believe, Harry Anslinger, where are my notes? I've lost this part of my notes, but he spoke at something for the United Nations. I forget what it was called, some sort of big council on narcotics, and basically convinced the entire world that marijuana should be illegal. Anslinger did.
Really?
Yep. That was pretty much his crowning achievement. He went beyond just the American level and outlawed it worldwide, or helped to get it outlawed. That was what are you doing? You typing on the?
Yeah, I'm typing in the chat.
Well, why don't you tell me what's going on, since I don't usually have the time to read the chat during the show because I'm
trying to
disseminate
fun.
Information.
Seeger said that if they legalized marijuana, that we would never see another good episode of Surreal Talk. And I was like, fucking Seegers is right, you know? And then I said something about, yeah, but have there ever been any good episodes of Surreal Talk?
Not great.
Everyone else like, oh, man, you guys are great. Oh, this is good, except for fucking...
DS.
Then they brought up the Pizzagate episode, and they're like, yeah, that one.
You know what?
Like,
I rewatched that recently. I wasn't as bad as everybody thinks I was.
No, and you were in the first one.
No, I'm talking about the first one. I wasn't that bad.
Yeah, you were.
No, I wasn't. Yeah, I was not that bad.
The second one, they're talking about it right now. The second one was just okay.
I don't think I was that bad.
Like, I think that was the worst one yet. It definitely was. I said, I'm not touching it. I said, damn, guys, just twist the knife a little bit. Shit.
Maybe I'll just get rid of it. It never happened.
No, gosh, no. If we still have the Illuminati and Flat Earth ones,
they're
up,
still on. Yeah.
So why you can't get rid of Pizzagate.
Yeah, that's true.
Don't delete things.
True. So what do you got? I know you had a bunch of stuff about.
So America, where are we at in America with marijuana? So there is 21 states that, 21 states that are completely illegal. And those are.
The states themselves are illegal?
Yeah, the states are illegal. You can't even go there. No, marijuana is not medical or
cannabis.
Legal recreational use.
I don't want to call it marijuana.
Cannabis. So what are we doing? Cannabis? Is that what we're calling it now? We're calling it cannabis?
Or weed. Weed's
Can I
fine.
Say pot?
You can say pot.
Just weed.
Marijuana, I don't like anymore.
No, you're just done with marijuana.
I think I'm done with marijuana, but I love pot.
Okay, so states that pot is illegal, and I mean not legal for recreational or medical use, would be Idaho, Wyoming, Utah, South Dakota, Nebraska, Virginia, Georgia, Kansas, Oklahoma, Texas, Iowa, Missouri.
These are red states.
North Carolina, Mississippi, Wisconsin, Indiana, Kentucky, Tennessee, West Virginia, South Carolina, and Alabama. Now, legal for medicinal uses are Arizona, New Mexico, Montana, North Dakota, Hawaii, Florida, Arkansas, Louisiana, Minnesota,
okay,
Connecticut.
You said for medicinal. Do you have a list of what, and I know it differs by state, but what generally will get you a medical? What
that totally differs by state. What will get you your card? What actual symptoms that you have and
what kind of diseases and stuff?
So it can be anything from like cancer, AIDS. It could be glaucoma. There's so many different things. It could be PTSD.
Anxiety.
Dude, honestly, live Google. There's so many different anxiety could do it. There's so many different things that you could get. Like if you've had, and I guess that's PTSD too. It's like even like rape trauma.
Hold on, I'm going to Google reasons for medical marijuana.
Yeah. Well, anyways, I'll continue with where I was at, though. Minnesota, Connecticut, Illinois, Michigan, which Illinois is where we are at right now, and it is medical legal, and they've just introduced the legislation to make it full-on recreational legal. So as right now in our state, if you get pulled over by the police and you have under 10 grams of marijuana,
grams, right. it's a
civil violation. It's not a misdemeanor or a felony or anything like that. It's an ordinance violation is basically what it is here in our
it's
town.
It's like jaywalking.
Yeah, exactly. Or having your dog at the park
did
without
you call
a leash.
The police and
I did call the police. I called the police to ask them what would happen if I was to be pulled over. Would I get and see, so my main thing was,
slow down. You're
do you
excited.
Get to keep your pot? Because, so here's the thing. If it's just like an ordinance violation, if the cops come to your house and you've got your stereo up too loud at 10 o'clock at night, your neighbors are bitching, hey, this fucker's got his stereo up, trying to go to bed. They don't come in your house and take your stereo over an ordinance violation. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
If you're at the park and you don't have your dog on a fucking leash and the cops come and say, hey, here's your fucking ordinance violation, $50 because your dog's not on a leash, they don't take your fucking dog. You know what I mean?
It's not going to take your turn. Right. You don't have to get
I'm not buying
beer.
It a fucking beer, man. But so
like
what I'm getting at is, though, if you get pulled over with pot,
right.
And it is an ordinance violation, anything under 10 grams, I don't feel like they should be able to take your property.
And what they say when
because
you
it's not
them.
Evidence. No, and this is what I said to him. I said because it's not evidence in a crime.
So you called the police station and tried to debate him?
Yes, I did.
Without
totally.
Even know what
I
the...
won. I fucking won that debate. Actually, I'm serious because so I called him and I'm like, and he's like, you're probably not going to get to keep your pot. And I'm like, no. Why? I said because if my dog isn't evidence in a civil ordinance, and if my stereo is not evidence in a civil ordinance, then how is my pot evidence? How can you justify taking my property? Because at this point, it's not evidence, it's property. You're not taking my dog, my stereo, or my pot because it's my property.
Right.
It's not a crime. And he's like, I get your point. And I was like, no, you don't. Because if you pull me over and take my property.
Did you give him your name or anything?
Oh, yeah, I totally did this unanonymous.
Okay.
Yeah, I went on right on. Like, hey, man, that's what I want to know.
This is Eric Hicks with Surreal Talk, or did you just?
No, I didn't say it was Surreal Talk. I just was like, hey, I got a couple questions about your new marijuana ordinances and everything like that.
Your new marijuana ordinance, because I guess this has happened right after.
No, well,
for whatever reason, Woodruff passed their own ordinance.
They passed their own ordinances, but it had been a state law for what, a few months before that.
Right.
Okay, so but you know, that's why I told him. I said, you know, how can you take my property if it's not evidence? I said, the only way I could see you taking my weed from me is if someone else called and said their weed was missing and my bag of weed fit that fucking description. So, and the cop just laughed just like you did right there. I said, so if my bag of weed fits the description of their missing bag of weed, then maybe it could be evidence and you could justify taking my bag of weed from me.
That's
beautiful. But if you can't match my weed to somebody else's missing bag of weed, then it's not evidence and it's an ordinance violation. It's property and you can't unrightfully and lawfully take my fucking property. And the cop's like, you've thought about this before, haven't you? I was like, dude, long and hard, bud. I've thought about this long and hard. And he's like,
the irony is I can't even smoke weed.
Right.
I'm just calling up to
I did this for
here.
You, fucker.
Well, thank you.
Trying to know
you looking out for me.
But yeah, so the deal is you get pulled over with it. And actually the cop is a friend of mine. I went to high school with the guy. Not so much a friend. We don't hang out and shit.
If he's a cop and he's your friend, you should call him a police officer, shouldn't you?
Fair enough. So the police officer, he's not so much a friend, but he's more of an acquaintance. We know the same people. We went to high school together. And I didn't feel like it was too informal messaging him and saying, hey, do you mind if I call you and talk to you about this?
Sure.
And so, oh,
you didn't call the police station. You called a police officer.
Well, at first I called the police station, and I couldn't get where I wanted, so then I called a guy that I knew
that
was a cop.
What did they say at the police station?
Oh, they were just a dick. They were dicks.
Well, okay.
You get pulled over, and you got pot, you're going to jail. And I'm like, well, what about the new ordinance that you guys just passed? We don't care nothing about that. You got some illegal substances on you, you're going to jail. And I'm like, fuck you. You know, and I said, I call the other guy. I'm like, look, man. And he's like, and this is what he said to me. It's going to vary. It's going to differ depending on the officer, depending on the situation, depending on your willingness to cooperate. You know, because at the time, a police officer can do whatever they want.
Right.
You know, you just have to take that up in court and figure out who was right, who was wrong. But at the time, they can do what they want. So he said, at the time, depending on your attitude and how you are acting with the police officer, whether or not they'll let you go, whether or not they'll make that ticket bigger, whether or not they'll keep your pot, whether or not you'll get to keep your pot, whether or not how the whole interaction will go is a lot of it is based on how.
In the air. That's bullshit. So
it is all up in the air.
It might as well not even be legalized or decriminalized because it all matters on how the cop that day is feeling. If he's been having a fight with his wife that day and he's feeling shitty, and you come up and your car's playing a song that she likes, he's going to be like, oh, fuck these motherfuckers. I smell weed. And they're going, I'm going to throw the book at him. You know, it's all based on emotions or.
But here's the thing that he did tell me.
Okay.
Here's what legalizing marijuana and making an ordinance violation did for in a legal aspect, what they can do is they can't take your weed, but they will give you DUIs. So you can get pulled over. They
that's
smell
not good
weed.
On your license.
Not at all. Not at all. Is that good on your license? But that's another way to get the funding that they were getting from arresting people, taking them to court, making them pay the fines.
Oh, they want that money.
They're getting that money regardless. So how their way to deal with that was: we'll pull you over. We smell pot. Yeah, you're not going to jail for pot, but you will go to jail for a DWI, driving under the influence, driving while intoxicated.
So real quick, then after that little diatribe. I found the list of in Illinois, well, of every state, but I wanted to go over Illinois, what qualifies you to become an American medical marijuana patient. This is in alphabetical order. So AIDS, obviously, makes sense. Alzheimer's disease. I wouldn't think that would be good for a memory problem. You know what I mean?
Hey, man, at that point, nothing exceeds like excess.
Who are you?
I had a grandson look like you. I am your grandson.
It'd be like, did I tell you I don't know who you are? I don't remember. Lou Gehrig's disease, ALS, Arnold Chiari malformation in syringomyelia, another disease.
Oh, yeah, I got that.
That's not cool, dude. Oh. What if that's bad and somebody's got it and they're like, fuck you, I got that. And you just be like, I got that and making fun of them. think.
It kind of sounded like Ferengi a little bit, so I would think Ferengi, like you look like Quark. Yeah.
Let's see. Cachexia, a.k.a. wasting syndrome.
What the fuck is that?
I don't know. I wonder if it's a shit where you get, like, you know, you all waste away to nothing. Let's look it up.
Yeah, I'm doing it now.
Look it up and let me know. Cancer.
Wasting syndrome. Oh, yeah, you hate that.
No, go ahead.
Yeah, wasting syndrome.
What about it? Oh, I thought you had it.
No, you hate that I voice search.
Oh, is that
wasting syndrome.
Stop voice searching on the fucking show. Cachexia. It is a loss of weight, muscle atrophy, a loss of weight.
Oh, fatigue. It's part of HIV and AIDS.
Yeah, it just makes you real skinny. Causalgia. I don't know what a lot of this stuff is, and I don't got time to look it all up. Chronic inflammatory demyelinating polyneuropathy. That's something in the brain. Neuropathy.
Weight loss, muscle loss, lack of appetite, fatigue, and decreased strength.
Like Crohn's disease, which is a pooping disease.
Crohn's is not a pooping disease. It's are you talking about?
Crohn's is it's a bowel problem.
Is it really?
Yeah.
You don't shit right?
Right.
Oh, bummer.
I've often wondered if I have Crohn's. Anyway, CRPS, which is complex regional pain syndrome, and then there's a complex regional pain syndrome type 1 and 2, dystonia, fibromyalgia, fibrous dysplasia, glaucoma, hepatitis C, HIV, hydrocephalus, hydromelia, interstitial cystitis. This is some shit I never heard of.
Lupus.
Multiple sclerosis, muscular dystrophy, myasthenia gravis, myoclonus, nail patella syndrome. It's like you got a nail in your knee.
Bent knee. Bent knee syndrome.
Nail patella?
I don't know. Patella's your kneecap, so.
Yeah. Nail, I mean, it seems like you got a nail in your knee all the time. I would want weed for that.
Maybe you got to get a hammer and a nail out, nail and kneel in your patella to get it.
Neurofibromatosis, Parkinson's disease. I hear it works. Did you see the videos on Facebook people post? Like with the oils and shit, the guy will take the oil. He'll be like beforehand, like, you know, doing a Parkinson's, Michael J. Fox thing.
And you're going to give me shit about a disease that people don't know about.
I'm illustrating. I'm not making fun of them. They're doing their thing.
It roast this fucking guy, people, please.
They're doing their thing. And then in like 6 minutes later, the dude's like, boom.
Yeah.
He's Leonardo DiCaprio from The Departed. Doesn't fucking move at all.
Yeah. Fucking heart rate, fucking jacked. No, but have you seen those? Like, it's like epilepsy, seizures. And it's like people that will, this one little girl had 350 seizures a week. Okay.
Yeah, and she started drops.
CBD oil, boom, down to one seizure a week. And then this other girl, this one, she had she had something wrong with her, man, where she hit herself all the fucking time. I couldn't remember. It was a really sad fucking video. And, dude, I mean, the mom literally had to bear hug this girl to keep her from hurting herself. They are kind of on the other fence, right? But
you got to recognize propaganda, either pro or con. You know what I mean?
No, it's true. It is propaganda. But at the same time, it's scientific truth.
Fair enough. I mean,
it's at the same time, it's propaganda, but it's not misleading bullshit propaganda. Like, you're going to go have sex with other races propaganda. Like, that's just, you know, speculation. Like, this propaganda is actually showing you, hey, this chick has seizures. She can't control them. Introduce CBD oil into the situation. Now look how she acts.
I get you.
You know what I mean? I mean, it's fact-based propaganda. Of course, it is still propaganda regardless because you're trying to sway someone's decision one way or the other.
Calm down.
But
don't hit me.
It's fact-based.
I got you. Moving on. Post-concussion syndrome. PTSD. Reflex sympathetic dystrophy. No clue. Residual limb pain. I love this one. So residual limb pain is whenever you get like an arm chopped off and it's like phantom. You know, you think
phantom limb syndrome.
Yeah, phantom pain.
You know, I have a guy that I work with that is missing a finger, and he totally has that. And all he feels is the pressure from the very last feeling that those nerves felt. It's constant pressure where he's missing that finger.
That's kind of one, though, that you could say you have the pain if you've lost an arm or something. You don't really have to prove it. We're just going to take your word for it.
Do you know how they fix that a lot of the time?
Turn the nerves off?
No. Like if it's your arm and it's not there and it's phantom pain, they'll put a mirror right here.
Oh, I've seen that.
And
your brain will
adjust. This arm here, and you look into that mirror, and it'll look like you have your two both, and your brain will adjust. Yep. And it doesn't work every time because the guy that I work with, it didn't work on. But he had talked to a lot of patients.
Your brain's weird about that kind of shit. Did you know the way the lenses in your eye are, your brain gets fed an upside-down image of everything, but your brain automatically flips it for you? So if you can take
you see things upside down.
Right, but your brain flips it. If you take a pair of glasses.
Your retina actually is what does that.
Whatever. You take a pair of glasses and it flips your shit upside down again.
Uh-huh.
If you wear them for a couple days, your brain will fix it. And you will see correctly with those glasses on. If you take them
off,
now shit's upside down without the glasses.
Oh, fuck that. That would be nuts.
But eventually your brain will again fix it.
You know what I was thinking that we need in here? Because everybody's always so surprised when I'm right, when you disagree with
me. A counter?
A counter. Like, okay, so like, Up. That's one for the board.
Seven times now Eric has been right.
Yeah.
Seven times.
You know what I mean? Everybody's like, holy fuck, he was right. That's it. Need a counter in the studio. Oh, that's one for the counter. Now, you know what? We're going to take this one to the counter because I feel real confident about this one. Right. Just like a running total Team Eric, Team Everett counter thing up there.
Oh, man. Mine had to be two or three times earlier.
Ah, fuck off.
Rheumatoid arthritis. I can see that. Seizures. Sjögren's syndrome. I've heard of it. I don't know what it is. Spinal cord disease that are not limited to arachnoiditis. That sounds like you're turned into a spider.
That's exactly what that is. I've had that before.
Tarlov cysts, hydromelia, and syringomelia. Other spinal cord injuries, spinocerebellar ataxia, syringomelia, Tarlov cysts, Tourette syndrome, and traumatic brain injury.
Fuck ass!
Calm down. That was louder than
that. That's Tourette syndrome.
I got you. So pretty much... You can't get it for easy stuff. In Illinois, you got to have a real debilitating injury other than – no, it's pretty much all debilitating. Some states you can just be like, I have migraines. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do.
I'm looking for one now. Let's see here. Muscle spasms. In Washington, D.C., you can get it for muscle spasms.
Muscle spasms, huh?
Yeah.
I have those. My back.
Let's see. I don't see anything else here really cool. Severe pain. You can get it for severe pain in Colorado. Doesn't matter, though, because it's legal. It still operates medical. That's interesting. Even though it's legal in Colorado, they still operate medical.
So there's another conversation going on right now. So we're having our conversation, and they're just totally debating in the chat over cops and weed and everything else. Like, they're having their own little thing right now.
Hey, we're doing a show here.
Yeah, no, yeah. I'm just kidding. Hey, you think you guys could, freaking pay attention, please, you know?
No, it's not like that. Let them have their discussion. They're having fun.
Yeah, they are. See, Sarah Frigo, pot has prevented me from killing my enemies. Pot helped with my cop seizures. I don't know what that means, but that's pretty funny.
I had a seizure every time I saw a cop until I started smoking weed. Then I just got real paranoid every time.
Paranoia is a big problem,
dude.
But you're not paranoid.
Did we
tell
any
of
our paranoid or weed stories from last time? Did we do anything like? I think I remember telling the story.
That's got to be on our pop culture, though, don't it?
Yeah, I guess so. Did I tell the story about how I was 18, living in my apartment, and every time we heard a noise outside, we always thought it was the
cops?
Oh
yeah, yeah.
Talk about that.
Yeah, you talked about that last time for sure.
That's just a good memory I have of just the bullshit paranoia that only comes because it's illegal.
Yeah,
I wonder if there's still paranoia, if marijuana would still make you paranoid if it wasn't illegal.
If it was completely recreational.
Would I have other stuff to be paranoid about?
Like, I want to know if you can take your bong into IHOP.
Well, it's a no-smoking establishment.
And rip bongs. Well, so here in Illinois, it's no-smoking, but say in Colorado, I don't know if you could smoke in restaurants there or not. In Illinois, you can't. You're not allowed to smoke in restaurants anymore.
Okay, places where you're allowed to smoke tobacco?
Yeah.
Can you take a tobacco or a bong in there and smoke tobacco? I don't see why.
I've never tried, but yeah, you should be able to.
You can go in there and smoke a pipe, like, you know, fucking old school Sherlock Holmes pipe type of thing. Yeah. So I don't see why not. I don't think it'd be good to walk around with a fucking water bong.
Just take your graphics bong, sit it on the table at IHOP. You're like, go ahead and give me a fucking fat stack of pancakes.
I'm going to need it here in about 25 minutes.
You want one? Go ahead.
I'm going to clear a few of these out, go take a dump. Yeah. By that time, I should be kicked in and hungry.
Yeah. Tell the cook he can come out and have a rip, too.
Keep the coffee coming. I don't smoke coffee or drink coffee, but I got a few other things. The 10 worst sentences ever laid out for marijuana. So there's a guy in Montana who is a medical marijuana provider who's facing 82 to 85 years behind bar due to mandatory laws.
Really?
Let's see. There's a guy or a woman in Oklahoma who sold $31 of pot, got her a 12-year sentence.
How much pot got her a 12-year sentence?
$31 pot sale got her a stunning 12-year sentence.
Jesus
She's been
Christ.
In jail already for 2 years, and she's only seen her children twice. Her name is Patricia Spotted Crow. That's probably because she's Indian or something. They didn't like her. Spotted Crow sounds quite Indian. Not Indian, sorry. Native American.
Thank you.
Remember Louis C.K. on that? You never seen the... Oh, man, he's like, we're such assholes that Indians aren't Indians, and we know that. And we still call them Indians.
Yeah.
Like 500 years ago, we got here and we're like, is this India? And they're like, no. And we were like, no, this is India.
You guys are fucking Indians.
You guys are Indians. Like, no, we're not. This is a whole other place. You're Indians. And 500 years later, we still call them that. It's kind of fucked up. So let's see what else we got here. A guy named Jonathan Magby was under arrest for medical marijuana. He was paralyzed from the neck down after being hit by a drunk driver at the age of 4. He was charged with marijuana possession in 2004 after cops found a joint and a loaded gun in a vehicle when he was a passenger. Though he had never been convicted of a criminal offense that required medical assistance 20 hours a day, He was given a 10-day sentence in a D.C. jail.
10 days?
This guy's paralyzed, mind you.
What the fuck was that?
I guess it was some sort of notification. I just turned off my sound. Magny's marijuana punishment was a death sentence. Without their medication behind bars, pot patients who make it out alive have endured days or weeks or years without their medication. Even in after release, conditions of parole, including urine tests, may prevent patients from accessing their medicine. That's a good point. If that guy got arrested, now he's on parole, he can't drop dirty.
No, he can't.
That's fucked up.
He can't drop dirty. No, because he's on parole.
But he's a medical patient.
He needs 20 hours a day of... Yeah, it's fucked. The whole system that has to do with marijuana is fucked.
Okay, here's a guy named Robert Platschorn. He was a leader with the DEA dubbed the Black Tuna Gang. He spent the mid-70s smuggling weed from the U.S. to the U.S. from Colombia before he was busted in 78. Authorities accused him of importing as much as 500 tons of pot.
500 tons, huh?
Yeah. Nice. He gained infamy for connection to what the DEA said was the most sophisticated drug operation it had seen yet.
Cool.
He was sentenced to 30 years. 28 he served until he was released on parole. For just weed.
Hey, didn't George Young just get out? I know he's more of a cocaine guy, but he started with pot. I got popped in Chicago with 500 pounds of grass. No, 660 pounds of grass.
He got arrested again, honestly.
You're right. You know what? I heard that, too. Wonder what it was for. I can't remember.
He violated his parole. He's still waiting a court date. Yeah, he went back in. What a dumb bastard.
That was Everett's pot dealer notification.
No, that's not how I get my notifications. It's usually a text. Okay, let's see. Oh, yeah, the worst part is.
Shit. LineupMedia.fm. Sorry. Go ahead.
That was weird. Will Foster was a U.S. Army veteran and business owner suffering from rheumatoid arthritis when he started growing weed. In 1997, Oklahoma police discovered his marijuana garden and $28 in cash after a confidential informant helped him procure a John Doe search warrant for meth. His sentence was reduced to 20 years. And he was paroled to California in 2001.
Really?
He just grew a weed, and he had $28, and they came in for meth. So they gave him 30 years. Or 20 years.
That's crazy.
John Avery. In 1994, more than 50 DEA agents, local police, and sheriffs raided a wheelchair-bound John Avery's 50-acre property. They discovered 1,250 pot plants. Okay, this guy probably needed a
1,250. That's a little much.
Yeah.
Not going to go with personal use on
and
that
an
one,
underground
pal.
Underground garden. Okay.
Right. It was noted that the guy buried 17 shipping containers.
We found it weird that he buried so many shipping containers in school buses.
Yeah, he had a fucking $9,000 a month electric bill with all those high-watt sodium bulbs and shit. It was noted that his, where do you buy that shit from? It was noted that his Home Depot credit card was fucking maxed out.
He's the only person with a $60,000 limit on his Home Depot. Let's see. They arrested his son-in-law, Ricky, and a friend, David Tapley. Collectively, the two implicated Daniels' wife, John Avery's deceased son, and his daughter. Basically, they got him on a criminal enterprise. Let's see how long they got him for. 10-year minimum mandatory. That doesn't sound like too bad for 1,200 plants.
No. The one chick got, what, 30 years, 20 years for...
For selling $31.
$31 worth of weed, and this guy got 10 years for 1,250 plants? I think he did all right.
I'm not going to read through the rest of these. Suffice to say, some people have did some time for the lowest amounts of weed.
It's crazy. I've went to jail.
Either because the DA of the county or wherever, the district attorney, was wanting to make a statement or... Make an example of somebody, or try to get us, you know, shit worked up because somebody had an ounce of weed or whatever.
You want to know what the biggest fucking bullshit about getting charged with marijuana is? And I don't know about it in a lot of other states, but here in Illinois, I mean, I'm going to go ahead and throw it out there. I got charged one time, marijuana, possession of paraphernalia. So the
I
fine.
Remember I bailed you out, didn't I?
Yeah, you did. Yeah. So the fine for possession of cannabis here in Illinois, $200. But my pinch hitter that I used to smoke that cannabis out of, the fine for that was $750. So this is how they do it. So they'll drop your cannabis ticket for $200, and they'll stick you with the $750 drug paraphernalia charge. So that way when you go to court next time, it doesn't have anything to do with it just being pot. You know, you got a cannabis ticket. They drop that. Now, they just look at you like a drug user because now you have a drug paraphernalia charge on you. You should have seen how they worded it, too. Bunch of cocksuckers. They were like, this metal pipe was used to ignite cannabis and inhale it into his body to produce a euphoric effect.
That's not a lie.
Right, but I mean, it's like you really,
put weed in there, smoked it to get high.
I mean, he ignited the cannabis with a source of flame ignition and inhaled it into his body to produce a euphoric effect.
That son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Son of a bitch. How dare he? How dare he? Last thing I got is I found a list of the five.
Ty Nip says, what's a $31 sale?
Oh, he made it. Ty, cool.
What's a $31 sale? I mean, you know what? That's a good point.
It could be an eighth bag.
Plus?
What?
An eighth bag. But 31?
Yeah. What you got on you? That's probably what happened.
I only got $31, man.
She probably sold to a confidential informant or something like that. And like, I only got 31 on me. I'll take it.
Yeah, 40 a quarter. 40 a quarter. Yeah. I got 31.
40 and 8.
Just this time. Well, back then it was probably 40 a quarter.
Who's to say?
You know, I got 31. All right, but you owe me 9, man. You
motherfucker.
Yeah.
You bring me $31 again, I'm going to tell you to get fucked. You owe me 9. Anyway, so Oklahoma is apparently the worst state to get busted in.
For weed?
Yeah. I'm reading this from a story on alternet.org. It says, lawmakers in the Sooner State made headlines this spring when legislators voted 119-20 in favor of House Bill 1798, which enhances the state sentencing guides for hash manufacturing to a minimum of 2 years in jail and a maximum penalty of life in prison.
For what?
For making hash. So don't go to Oklahoma and fuck around.
That's crazy.
Let's see. Oh, here's another thing about Patricia Spotted Crow. Learned the truth about, she was in Oklahoma. The excessive pot penalties the hard way in February when a judge sentenced the mother of four to 12 years in prison for her role. See, this is different. It says the role in $39 worth of herb to an undercover informant.
Oh, so dude was only $1 short.
Yeah, seemingly.
So it's either a $31 sale or a $39 sale.
Either which way, it's a weird fucking number. you buy this much and I'll sell it to you. Maybe they're selling like $13 quarters. Three of those would be $39.
Yeah, but at that point, why wouldn't you just buy the whole ounce for like, you know,
45? That's a real deal. $50. I don't know.
52.
Texas is the second worst. Apparently, on an annual basis, no state arrests and criminally prosecutes more of its citizens for pot than Texas. Marijuana arrests comprise over half of all annual arrests in Texas.
Jesus Christ, for real?
Yeah.
Half of the arrests in Texas are for pot?
Apparently, it says
it's such a good revenue generator. I guess it's like that's why the states don't want to give it up. At the same time, it's like, look, you can get your revenue by arresting your citizens.
Well, think about
or you
this.
Can get your revenue by taxing them and letting them do what the fuck
think
they
about
want.
This. If they stop marijuana arrest, that gets rid of half the arrest. Now you need half the cops. They can't have that.
Ooh, that's very fucking a fine point that you're making right there. Half the cops are gone. Yeah. What about the old Texas Ranger Walker's out of a fucking job, huh?
Yep. Says here in 2009, more than 97% of all marijuana arrests, over 77,000 people in 2009, were for possession only.
Jesus
97% were possession.
That's fucked, dude.
Those convicted faced up to 180 days in jail and a $2,000 fine, even upon their first conviction.
That's 9 months.
On their first 180 days is more like 6 months.
Right. That's what I meant.
Crackhead. Let's see. In 2007, Governor Rick Perry signed legislation HB 2391 into law, granting police the option of issuing a summons in lieu of an arrest on a marijuana possession case. That's kind of cool. So Rick Perry's like, you know what? You can just say come to court if you get caught with it instead of arresting them.
They'll
still give you a sentence, but at least you're not going to jail that day.
Yeah. Yeah.
And that's kind of cool. So in Florida is the number three. It says, according to a 2009 state-by-state analysis by former Normal Director John Getman, no other state routinely punishes minor marijuana more severely than does the Sunshine State.
Really?
Under Florida law, marijuana possession of 20 grams or less, about two-thirds of an ounce, that's pretty close, is a criminal misdemeanor punishable by up to 1 year in prison, up to a $1,000 fine.
So you probably just get the $1,000 fine.
That seems about normal. I mean,
yeah,
for most states. Marijuana possession over 20 grams, as well as the cultivation of even a single pot plant, are defined by law as felony offenses. So if you
okay,
got
so
over,
growing one, it'll get you
some trouble. Quarters or more, or growing a pot plant, you can get 5 years in prison and a $5,000 fine.
That's fucked, man. I don't think
that's not that bad.
Are you shitting me?
No,
5 years in prison? It's horrible.
I spent a lot of time on the Normal website, NORML.org.
Yeah, Normal.
And they've got lists for every state what all of the laws are. And that seems pretty close to what a lot of the, you know, the states that are still illegal, pretty close to the same thing they do. So number four is Louisiana. It says on May 6th, the Associated Press reported that the case of Hornell Hood II, who received a life sentence for possessing 2 pounds,
Life sentence for 2 pounds?
I'm not saying I've ever possessed 2 pounds of weed.
I have.
Shh.
But a life sentence for that? That's fucked, dude.
Yeah, I hear you. Where are we at? Hood received life sentence because he had 3 prior marijuana convictions, and none of them were significant enough to result in a single day of jail time. 4th time's a charm, even though he's never done a day of in his life, or more than a day in his life for weed. They said, fuck it, you've not learned your lesson. Life sentence.
That's crazy.
That's nuts. Arizona apparently is the 5th worst. That's where Dabney's from. 40 years ago, virtually every state in the nation defined marijuana possession as a felony offense. Today, only one state, Arizona, treats first-time pot possession in such an archaic and punitive manner.
Arizona's got felony for first-time possession?
First-time possession is felony.
Jeez, man, that's
crazy.
Under
Arizona law, even minor marijuana possession offenses may be prosecuted as a felony, punishable by up to 18 months in jail and a $150,000 fine.
For a fucking joint? One joint?
Apparently.
Hey, you know, I like what Bernie Sanders said one time. You know, everybody knows I like Bernie. But Bernie one time in one of his, you know, speeches he was talking about, he said, what I don't get is how, I think it was Goldman Sachs. He said, Goldman Sachs can break all these rules and get fined $5 billion.
You telling me to shut up? Is that what you're saying in the chat? You want me to stop the episode?
I don't know what you're talking about. So Goldman Sachs would be like, get fined $5 billion. Nobody goes to jail, you know, because they broke all these laws and all these fucking rules. And then one kid gets caught with a joint, an 18-year-old, and it ruins his fucking life because now it's on his record that he's got, that he's, you know, drugs.
Yeah.
But these guys can fucking completely just murder any laws that are about their, you know, what
pyramid
was it? What was it? I can't remember what
Madoff.
They fucking had to pay all that money for. Yeah, I know Madoff did that, but the Goldman Sachs deal, they had to pay like $5 billion in fines. And that was what Bernie's point was.
Insider trainers.
Nobody went to jail, not a fucking day in jail for those people, okay? And they broke law, made millions, whatever. And then one kid gets caught with a joint, spends time in jail.
One kid's got a joint in his pocket and he's going to do life. It's just not right.
Yeah,
it's
not.
That wasn't Bernie, was it?
No, you're Bernie. Your Bernie Sanders socks.
Well, yours isn't any better.
I shall all call right. him Birdie Sanders.
Birdie? What was that from?
That's a little bird that flew up on his little fucking podium.
What was it from,
From a fucking meme. It was from a meme.
All right, well, let's kill this episode. Apparently, I'm getting some shit. We're going too long? Is that what's going on? Explain to me what's going on in the chat here. Apparently, I'm not involved. Hey, hello.
I can hear everything you're saying. Just because I'm not looking at you does not mean I can't hear you.
Yeah, why don't you talk to me? We're doing a show. You're not doing a show with the people in
the
chat.
You are still talking, so whenever you stop talking, I will add my... I don't want to just interrupt you. You know
fuck
what I mean?
You
so
pay
when
attention.
You stop talking,
you're
I will
rude,
add
sir.
My int, my
rude.
My 2 cents into
you're
the situation.
Rude. I'm going to turn off your computer. I'm going to pull your power plug so you can't participate in chat because it
won't charge without
show.
My power cut.
Yeah, I know. It'll turn off.
Yeah, it won't charge without that. So what are we cutting this one out? Yeah, Arizona is strict for sure. So what are we cutting this one out? 0.04 gets a DUI.
Hey, close your computer.
Not unless
close your computer.
Not unless you're a licensed CDL driver. Does a 0.04 get you? I don't know though about Arizona.
Hello. Hello.
We wrapping this one up yet?
I won't fucking stab you. God, you irritate me sometimes. Yeah, we're gonna wrap this one up.
States to live.
Hey, stop looking at the fucking chat, man. 2 seconds. Let's finish the show.
We
then
are.
You can do the chat.
We are. Legal weed is good.
There's a podcast.
Legal
here.
Weed is good.
Yeah, it'd be nice. But in the long and short of it, I don't give a fuck if it's legal.
Why not?
Because I'm still gonna buy it. I'm still gonna smoke it. You get me?
No.
I don't care if tomorrow. If it's
you don't
legal
care if
tomorrow.
It's legal if that could make things easier on you and make you less
How,
paranoid, make you less
it'd be nice.
Of a criminal, make
it would
you
be
less.
Nice, but think about this: in the long and short of it, tomorrow I'm still going to smoke a weed or a marijuana.
Right, but wouldn't it be nice tomorrow if you didn't
it
have to go
be.
To jail for
I'm
it?
I'm not saying it wouldn't be, but in the long and short of it, it matters not.
It does matter.
No, it doesn't
because if you get pulled over tomorrow,
I'm not getting pulled over tomorrow.
You don't know that.
I'm arrogant, sir.
You don't know that.
And I've got my shit together.
You don't know that.
Speed limit. I got excellent cop dar. And I'm not an idiot.
Yeah,
so
but you're
really
but you're going no yeah but you're going to think that like the cops are just going to pull you over because of the type of vehicle that you drive and how you're driving and that's that as way that should
and
be.
I'm white you know that helps so says Louis C.K.
So Everett's got his white privilege out in full force today.
I can't help it if I've got it. It's like if you have money you're going to spend it. If you have white skin you're going to use it. You know what I mean?
No, I don't. No, I sure don't.
This worked for Louis C.K. one time. It's not really working for me.
No, not at all. Kind of sound like an asshole, really.
Yeah. You got some snot. Anyway. All right, let's kill this. We'll be back here shortly, YouTubers. talking about the fun side of marijuana.
Sarah Franco, fight.
Come on, Sarah. He'd lose quickly if it was a
real fight. Yeah, right. We'd be back here. This is part three with just Eric this week.
Oh, bullshit. I'd kill you. Yeah, we're going to come back and do the pop culture side of marijuana. Ought to be a good time. Podcasters, download the next episode. Start it now. Catch you next time. Oh,
right, thank you.
Let's do our regular outro. We got an outro we do. This has been a
lineupmedia.fm production.
Please visit our website.
At www.surrealtalkpodcast.com. Vote in a poll.
Make sure you vote in a poll, Team Everett.
Yeah, Team Eric.
Team Everett.
Yeah, if you have any, right, yeah, I don't even know what the score is, but
let's
find
out.
If you've got any suggestions, info@surrealtalkpodcast.com.
85 to 90 me. Oi.
Yeah, I think that's because he knows computers and he can fucking work the system. And
I don't need to.
He probably cheated.
I don't need to.
Anyway, but you know how.
I could easily. Easily.
Enough said. Anyways, email us at info@surrealtalkpodcast.com. Let us know we suck.
Keep those reviews coming in.
Keep the reviews coming.
Facebook reviews. Really love those iTunes reviews. Those are way more important than Facebook. Yeah. Sorry they are, even though we get a ton more Facebook.
Yeah.
iTunes reviews all day long to the head.
Don't forget to jam that like button on YouTube. That's great. We like that. Subscribe on YouTube. It helps out the channel.
Vote again, Team Everett on SurrealTalkPodcast.com. If you're into more podcasts, go to lineupmedia.fm. We've got 50 or 60 some odd fucking shows on there that are all good, from sports shows to women's shows to Spanish language shows.
Yeah, but it sounds like they're being like, you can't say that they're all good. You don't listen to all of them.
I can't say that, but I've got... You know how people say that all American goods are good?
Are you talking about all the podcasts on lineupmedia.fm?
Yeah, I see your shirt. No, just check it out. If you guys are looking for other podcasts, check out our network first. Give those people a chance. They're all amateurs, and we don't have any pros. Like, we're probably the number one show in the network.
And we're by no means pro.
But there's a lot of good, normal people doing good shows about interesting topics. So check out lineupmedia.fm and give them a shot. Otherwise, like I said, we'll see you guys here in a few more minutes. Take it easy.
Yep. Think us. Follow us back in about, 15, 20? We'll be back for part three.
Please. Wake up.
This has been Surreal Talk, a lineupmedia.fm production. Listen online at surrealtalkpodcast.com. And subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, and all major podcast outlets.
How come I know so much? What the hell is going on around here? Who are you people?
Join the conversation on Facebook and Twitter, and get all of our podcasts now at lineupmedia.fm.
I'm mad as hell! I'm not going to take it anymore!
This podcast was a presentation of lineupmedia.fm.